Crazy Dogs, swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm. If your work be not too shoddy. Be careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Avast, me hearties. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from under South Korea's widely sprayed, heavily Malithian clouded, yet only somewhat mosquito-less skies, you're listening to what we can only hope will be a completely cancer-free episode 70 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Hailing from Laguna Hills, California, we're joined this week by the multidimensional media relations maven and angel on assignment, Margot Mateus. An award-winning author and journalist, Margot's Freed by the Light, True Stories of How the Supernatural Affects Our Lives, has been featured on both Coast to Coast AM and The Jimmy Church Show. After tonight's dynamic exchange, she'll be able to boast of having done it all over again, only this time while sailing along as a weekly passenger aboard the Robin Hood. Unlike most of our shows to date, we've set aside the closing 30 minutes of this week's episode for live callers to receive personal readings and possibly take the first tentative steps in unlocking their spiritual and psychic superpowers. That's right, folks. Get ready to experience the unexpected as we sail out onto supernaturally infused waters today. Assuming, of course, we're able to connect with our guest, Margot Mateus. She was here down on the docks of Skullport Harbor just a moment or two ago. Are you still around there, Margot? Or?
I'm here.
Perfect. We've got you. Well, that's great. Well, big thanks, of course, to Carol Sloan. Let's get that out of the way right off the top of things here. Yeah. So, without her help, of course, we wouldn't have been able to put this show together. It was her recommendation that we decided to ask you to drop by and join us here this week. So, how long have the two of you known each other?
We met last August, so it's been a year now. We met up in Sacramento at the Awareness Life Expo and just hit it off immediately, and I thought she was wonderful, and she was really supportive in all my workshops and interested in my work, and we're great Facebook friends, and I just adore Carol. She's awesome.
Well, that's great. So, yeah, we know her here, too. Of course, she's one of our biggest fans, actually. She's a supporter of the show via Patreon and other channels and means and whatnot, so we really love having her around. She's a great person to have been able to connect with. Laguna Hills, where, for those people who don't live in California, is that exactly? Is it in the San Francisco area?
No, it's Southern California. It's between Los Angeles and San Diego. So it's by the famous Laguna Beach, Huntington Beach. It's in the beach area of Southern California. It's in a place called Orange County.
Sure.
Real Housewives of Orange County, that's basically that area.
Yeah. You know, I've actually been down a couple times through California, the West Coast, drive there along the Oregon coast down all the way to Baja. But unfortunately, being an expat Canadian living here in South Korea the past 15-odd years, it's kind of, yeah, you can't always have the clearest idea of what's going on geographically all over the world, even though you've, you know, traveled through these places a time or two. I do remember it was wonderful, though, the whole that whole experience, definitely. So
it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And in fact, we've got a few pictures of you at various locations throughout the states. I'd imagine some of those are taken in the California area or region.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so. Mm-hmm.
We ripped a lot of your Facebook pics and put them together in a folder here. So, yeah, we have them up streaming live at the moment via our slideshow that we present and just offer to people on a weekly basis, all part of the value-added philosophy and approach.
It's great that you do that. It's wonderful. It really adds to the visual content and gives people a real glimpse into who the speaker is, I would imagine.
There you go. Exactly. So, you know, there's so many places we could go with this just right off the top here. one of the things that really jumped out at me, and this isn't really... Well, you wear so many different hats. That's one of the main things that I've been kind of reflecting upon here. Journalist, author, of course, a public speaker, media relations maven, psychic, intuitive. What am I missing here? Just the list is endless.
Spiritual advisor, yeah. Corporate trainer. Yeah, I'm like Zena. You know, I have many skills. Hopefully they're coming to bear to help people now in a different way.
And a big time Star Trek fan too, is what it seems. So that kind of caught my eye. Are you more the original series or kind of into like Next Gen and Deep Space?
You know, I love Next Generation, and I always related to the character of Deanna Troi. And, you know, this is when I was in my 20s, the show was on, and I kept thinking, oh, my God, I'm so like her. I want a job like that where I could be an empath and I can read people's minds and I can tell people if they're good people or bad people. And I would be a great consultant like that. And it's really wonderful because now I actually get hired by a firm up in San Francisco to not only help them with their PR stuff, but really to offer psychic consultations and intuitive suggestions on their employee and their morale and their organizational structure. So it's really rewarding to have seen that kind of come to bear after just really looking up to Deanna Troi and thinking how awesome it would be to have a job like that, right? Now I really do. It's cool.
So what of the conventions themselves, though? I'm just to get a little clearer picture of things here. Have you attended many?
No, because as an empath, I cannot handle large crowds. So I get overwhelmed by other people's energy. So crowds make me crazy. So I literally can have panic attacks and freak out. So I don't do crowds. So I do Comic-Con and Star Trek and stuff, all that sort of virtually and read about the stories and appreciate people that go. But that's not an encounter I would really enjoy.
Right. You're also, though, I noticed one of the things that we picked up on here as far as just in the lead up to today's presentation, you know, big into breathing and, you know, meditation of sorts. So in a situation like that, are you not just able to – I understand where you're coming from, too. It is problematic, and a lot of people – myself included, you know, and that's why I mention this, is because for me it's all meditation, it's just all breathing and just emptiness, really, kind of very much Buddhist influence from this end of things here, as mm-hmm. far as all that goes. But where do you stand on that whole the whole issue as far as when you have these, as you mentioned, these anxiety attacks and remembering just to let it, you know, the out breath.
I think for an empath, a person who is, you know, picking up millions of frequencies all the time, and then when you're concentrated in a crowd of thousands of people, it's not just a matter of, for me anyway, just being able to breathe, because even though I close my aura very tightly in those types of places, I'm still picking up like the hum and the buzz of everybody's energy. And so it literally can make me lightheaded. It can make me sick to my stomach. It can make me very overwhelmed. So I've personally not found that breathing is really, really gets me through that. It's just something I do. It's just too much sensory input for my system to handle.
Gotcha. Now, but you do attend some, I guess, like book fairs or festivals of sorts as far as...
Yeah, book fairs, and I've had book signings at Barnes & Noble and various bookstores. Yes, absolutely. Those are smaller events. And as a trainer, you know, here's the paradox, right? So as a trainer and a speaker, I can be, you know, on a stage talking to thousands of people and feel completely comfortable because they're my people. If I tell them, you know, move, I need to get out of the room, they're going to do that. But in a crowd, you know, such as a Comic-Con or a convention or something like that, it's just sort of, you know, chaotic mayhem, and there's nobody really in charge. And so I'm just sort of in this sea of people. Plus, I'm very short. I'm only 5 foot. So I'm sort of buried in, you know, a lot of tall people. And it's just not comfortable.
Have you done anything along the lines of a TED Talk?
No, and I really want to. Now that the book's out, there's like 35 talking points that I kind of pulled out, and I'm going to be doing, you know, some YouTube videos and things like that. I'm just starting to be able to promote the book because we're redoing the website and, you know, getting all the infrastructure ready for that. But yeah, I definitely want to do that. There's a lot of really cutting edge, interesting concepts in here that people don't know about.
Freed by the Light is the title of the book. There's a subtext that goes along with that, or subtitle, I think, along, maybe you can just help fill in the blank.
Sure. Stories of how the supernatural affects our lives.
There you go. That's right. Now, I'd like to get into the book as we proceed here, and let's just, to remind listeners, we're going to have a conversation here for about an hour, and then if we have anyone in the listening audience that is that's tuned in and managed to catch the show live here via the live streaming YouTube chat, they are more than welcome to call in, or I suppose would a text message work as well, or do you need to actually be speaking to someone for that to
No, they could write in the chat. Yeah, that's totally fine. If it's something complicated, I would probably need to have their energy live,
right?
But if it's a simple question, you know, about a relationship or a job or something like that, I can probably just do it with text.
So Margot will be doing that over the course of the last 30 minutes as we wind things down today. But let's see, where we want to go now at this particular moment is kind of shift things back to your childhood, because that's really where everything kind of... Well, I guess you, as a child, it didn't take too long for you to realize that you weren't perhaps exactly the most normal or ordinary kid in the world.
Yes, correct.
What happened? How did that all come about?
Well, I just always felt different, you know. I had a lot of sensate feelings that other people didn't have. And when I was about the age of 8, I started having premonitory dreams. And that's where I would dream something, and then it would happen that day at school. I always had a good sense of intuition. I was deeply religious and spiritual as a child. And I, you know, devoured Bible verses the way that kids today read Harry Potter. And I remember we had a tornado come through our house when I was about 6. And my parents were in the living room, and they didn't know what to do. And I'm the one who hit my knees and prayed for the tornado to skip our house, which it actually did do. It hit the house literally behind us, skipped our house, then went up 2 blocks ahead, and then tore the roof off a gas station. So, of course, I don't know if my prayer had anything to do with that, but that was my instinct at 6 years old, was to pray to God to intervene. And so it's really interesting that now in my life, that's what I do, right? I intervene for people for divine intervention. So the roots were always definitely. And then when I was 13, I started having dreams with invisible people, and they literally were like these scientists in lab coats. They weren't aliens. They were angels now, I know, but I couldn't see their faces, but they were these light beings, and they were literally teaching me how to catch demons. And I didn't know what it was, but they would say, here's this thing, and it was invisible, and it was growling, and they'd say, you have to catch it. And so I learned how to do that when I was 13, but I didn't really realize what it was that I was catching. And, you know, now today that's a lot of what I do. So all the roots were there from the beginning, as they are with everyone. You know, as a CEO trainer, I do the same thing that you're doing. Jaffe, I ask the CEOs, tell me about your childhood, because who we are is who we are, and it starts very early. So yeah, with me, the seeds were always there. And then I started having visions, full visions of people when I was about 15. And so I would know if a friend had been hurt or, you know, someone needed help, because I would see a vision of them. It looked like a round oval picture frame, and I would see their face and they were in distress, and then I would know that they needed help.
How many times did this actually occur?
Dozens, all the time. And I still tell my friends, I would tell them, I'd say, if you ever need me, just ping me, like mentally, just call me mentally. And I literally would just say, oh, somebody, okay. And I would call somebody and say, you rang? And they'd be like, yeah, I was trying to call you, or I need to ask you something. So I remember I was in my 20s sitting at my desk at a newspaper office, and I started crying. And I'm like, I'm not sad. What's going on? So I called my best friend in Florida, and she was actually crying when I called her. And she was trying to, you know, work something out with a move and was in a lot of distress. And so I was like, it must be her because it's not me. So that's an empath. That's me picking up vibrations and frequencies from people all over the place.
You know, they talk about twins having that sort of connection as well. I'm not sure if you've looked into that at all.
Yes. My friend Michelle and I, we actually would meet in the astral plane. We would say, let's meet in a dream tonight. And we would literally dream, and we would meet someplace in a dream that night and see each other and talk and spend time, and then just wake up in the morning and, you know, talk to each other about it on the phone.
How about that? Have you looked much into, Tibetan dream yoga, I think is one of the traditions that people often talk about. Any connection to that per se?
No. No, I don't really do anything with that.
Mm-mm. I see. But you have heard of it. You just haven't looked into it all that much.
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. How about that? Now, but astral travel then, how does that, you wouldn't know how it differs because you don't know what this Tibetan dream yoga is all about exactly. But my guess is it's something quite similar, although I'm just kind of, it's a hypothesis at least. Let's leave it at that. But tell us a little bit more then about how this astral travel business works then.
Well, astral travel works when your consciousness leaves your body to go someplace. If you're well-intentioned and your defenses are strong, you can direct where you go. But a lot of people, and I do caution against this in my book, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to go play in the astral realm. And the astral realm is like the lower place, you know, it's like Skid Row, here in America. You know, it's not a good place. It's filled with addicts and low vibrational people and thieves and murderers and people trying to get back into the body so that they can engage their addictions, or their compulsions. And so it's generally, you have to be very careful about kind of like where you set your GPS to make sure that you end up where you want to go. So it takes an advanced sort of skill to be able to kind of set that intention and end up there. But I've been able to astrally go on many journeys with many friends. I remember I had a friend, and he and I wanted to go on a guided meditation together, but we actually wanted to really do it, like go through the dimensions. So we set up a time, and I laid down in my bed in my apartment. He laid down in his bed in his apartment, and I said, I'll come get you. And I remember coming down through the ceiling of his apartment and watching him. He was in his underwear, tidy whities, standing at the mirror brushing his teeth in the bathroom. And he didn't notice me. And I thought, how can I let him know that I'm here? So I went in his bedroom, and I'm kind of like floating around through the hallway. I found his bedroom. And I said, well, I'll fill it with flowers so he'll smell something when he comes in. So I filled it with rose petals. And he came back in, and my energy by that time was breaking up. It takes a lot of practice and discipline to hold a vibration like that for a long time, to be out of your body consciously. So at that time, I couldn't do it for more than a few minutes. So I came back to my body, and then I called him, and I said, did you see me? And he said, no, I didn't see you. And I said, well, I saw you. You were in the bathroom. And he goes like, oh, my God, I wasn't dressed. I said, I know. And then I said, do you smell anything in your room? And he goes, he sniffed, and he said, it smells like flowers in here. So that was really, really an amazing experience. But you can do that because the dimensions are always available to us, and that's really what I do so much in my work in angelic soul clearing and helping people as I traverse these dimensions for them and help bring back their soul parts and help go into the past and cancel soul contracts and curses and all kinds of things. You can travel anywhere.
Yeah, you've got a whole package, a course, I guess, that you've recently launched alongside, together with your book, Freed by the Light. There's a great poster, a picture that kind of outlines all the different features that you're offering there as far as this, the breaking of hexes and soul contracts and karmic cleansing and all those sort of good things. June of this past year is when that all kind of kicked off. Maybe you can tell us a little more about it.
I do those ongoing, actually. I'm in the middle of that one. It's a 12-session course, and it's called 12 Keys to Developing Your Supernatural Superpowers. And I developed it because people were so curious about what I do, and we all have these abilities, but we're not taught how to harness them, right, or how to develop them. The course is really awesome and people are loving it and they're making such amazing progress every session. So each session I go through and I show them how to open up a certain chakra, which of course are the energy centers in the body, and get them used to being in there, moving around in their energy, just getting that flow going. And it's different. The chakra work that I do is different than what a lot of people do. People say, I do chakra clearings or that kind of stuff. This is very, very intensive and comprehensive. So when I do a clearing, it's like a deep cleaning. You know, it's like I come in with a cleaning crew and we wash the walls and we, you know, dust everything and we move all the furniture. And it's really, really intensive. So it's very thorough. And that's why we've had the miracles that are in the book, Freed by the Light. But the course is awesome. And I did it online so that anybody anywhere can do it at any time. Every session is recorded. So if you want to do it on your own or you want to do it with a friend, whatever, you can always join it live or you can do it at your own pace. And it's just been tremendously well received.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I said it's just really exciting to see these people opening up and experiencing these things that they never did before. They didn't think they were capable of it and they're doing it.
Well, for sure. I mean, anytime that you can instill confidence within people, then, you know, that is a victory or an obvious success. Clearly, there's so many folks out there who, you know, they've lived a great many of their years with lack of self-esteem, confidence, just damaged in so many different ways. And if they could only free themselves, well, that's where, for me, the word enlightenment, that's one of the applications or how I see that, in that we have these burdens that we encumber ourselves with, guilt and all kinds of different issues I'm sure that you can elaborate on. But if we just free ourselves of that, wow, we feel so much better. It's amazing.
We do. And, you know, you're really talking about the heart and soul of the book Freed by the Light, because that's why I named it that, because it helps people free their souls. So many times, you know, we struggle and we go to therapy and we go to 12-step programs and we do self-help and we listen to shows like yours and we try to get better, but we're not able to clear everything. And this is where soul clearing comes in. And the angels that I work with come in and literally can change that stuff in an instant. And when I started, you know, understanding this process and doing this work with the angels, they were able to remove energetic entities from people that had been there since they were 3 and 4 years old. And these people just would cry because they're like, I tried everything. I've tried everything to get free. I didn't know what was wrong with me. And they blame themselves, right? And what they don't understand is, you know, like pirates overtaking a ship, these energetic entities are out there, you know, in the cosmic sea trying to get in anything they can. And they will onboard without your permission, and they will take over your vessel, and they will make it theirs. And my book really talks about the fact that this is a reality, that if you can't overcome addictions or depression or, you know, very strong feelings of negativity that people deal with, sometimes it is actually due to a cosmic invader. And the book talks about what those invaders are and how to clear them out of your system, and gives real life examples of people who've had miraculous experiences having been freed like that just instantly, you know, including addictions, heroin addiction, alcoholism, suicidal thoughts, just amazing stuff.
Thank you for reminding me of the pirate reference. That's one of the things that the captain has written into the ship's articles, that each and every one of the guests that joins us here on the Robin Hood is required, if they want to actually board the ship, provide some sort of pirate story or just angle. So I think you've done that quite effectively there. In fact, as I had mentioned just in the quick 2 to 3 minute exchange sort of conversation before we went live here today, that Aurora, who I think you said you're somewhat acquainted with, but I think that's kind of the angle that she used as well. So with this archonic, and I'm not sure if that word means much to you, the archons, mind parasites almost. And this is one of the areas, or at least points, where I understand where Scientologists are coming from when they talk about the Thetans. You know, that doesn't mean I buy into everything Scientology has to say, of course. I agree with you.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like Islam even for, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Islam personally, but they've got a few good things that they say that I agree with. We're not going to get into that right now. We'll save it for another show. But before we get on, you know, just kind of carried away here, and too much, you know, far down the road out on our weekly journey, these rose petals, it's been kind of bugging me. I wanted to kind of just jump on back there for a second. Were you able to make them actually physically manifest, or was it just, simply the smell?
You know, I wasn't able to actually physically manifest rose petals, but it's interesting because in the other dimensions, it's like a cartoon universe. So it's really interesting to me, you know, that we have so many cartoons and our culture is obsessed with the supernatural, right? Because it's part of us and we're profoundly affected by it. And so when I work to help people and in the astral realm, it's a different dimension. So in that dimension, I could actually stand, or actually wasn't standing, I was floating literally in his room. My spirit was floating in his room. My body was still in my apartment across town. But I envisioned red rose petals and I filled his room with them. And so the physical manifestation wasn't there, but the fragrance was. So, and it's just like ghosts, right? So our loved ones, we smell their perfume, we smell their cigarettes, right? Fragrance is a big thing. It's a big memory trigger, and it's something that's very commonly associated with the spirit realm.
Absolutely. Yeah, you hear that time and time again. Now, you also work with career cards. Are they anything like tarot?
They are like tarot, but they're more comprehensive and mainstream. So I developed the career cards because I was meeting with all these Fortune 500 executives who said, I love my job, but it's not what I want to do. But I don't know what I want to do. They had no idea. They'd shut it down. You know, they'd just been doing this job, workaday stuff. And so I realized that they needed like a tangible tool that would literally say, this is what you're supposed to do. So I created an 88 card deck. It's like an oracle deck. There's no scary images. The imaging is very beautiful and very non-denominational. It's actually a combination of East and Western philosophies. It offers 70 different cards that talk about various careers, occupations, industries. I've really tried to include everything. So, for instance, there's life purpose decks and things like that, but there are only 44 cards. And they're all woo-woo occupations. And I thought, what happens to the ditch diggers? What happens to the truck drivers? We need these people to keep the world running, you know? And it's going to be somebody's destiny to do that. So I really tried to make this deck as comprehensive as possible and as inclusive so everyone could find themselves in it. And then I included action and block cards. So it's the only deck in the world, literally, where you can identify your career or your life purpose and then ask, what are my blocks to doing this and what should I do action-wise to make this happen? It really brings you very full circle. You're never left wondering, wow, what's next? Because those action cards are there to tell you exactly what to do. Or the block cards are there to identify the blocks that are keeping you from success. So they've been really well received. They're used in 14 different countries, and I sold out of 1,000 of them in 5 months with no promotion. Just one internet radio show.
Was that Coast to Coast or the Jimmy Truth?
It was not Coast to Coast. It was a thing called Love Your Life Experience.
And that's quite something. So,
let me tell you this story really quick, Jackie. Sure. This is a great story, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
This is amazing. So at the time that I was doing the career cards, it was during the recession, and my training business had leveled off because, you know, nobody's going to pay an outside trainer and pay travel and all that in the middle of a recession. So I was working diligently, and I really wasn't sure how I was going to pay for them to get printed because it was about $10,000. So I wrote into this radio show, and I don't even remember how I heard about it. It was very obscure, but had a large audience all around the world. And I said to her, I'd like to talk to your psychic or whoever that's on there. And she had a guy by the name of Gil Allen on that night, and he did a meditation with Jesus. And Jesus, of course, has always been my dearest friend, my guide. He's my guide. Love Jesus. So I did this meditation with Jesus, you know, like he did on the call. And I woke up the next morning, and I felt like Jesus wanted to talk to me some more. So I was really scouring, trying to find the recording of this and trying to get this guy's voice again, because he's really got a great voice hypnotically. He can really take you to a very deep place. And I couldn't find it. So the next day, I open up my email, and there's an email from an old Facebook account that I had not used for 8 months. And it says, you know, you just posted something. And I said, what do you mean? Somebody hacked my account, right? I haven't posted. I don't even remember the password to that Facebook account. But it said, I just posted something. So I got a new password, got in there, and it was a meme of Jesus that said, share if you're a child of the king. And I went, holy God, Jesus sent me an email. I wrote Debbie, the lady that was in charge of Love Your Life Experience, and told her this experience. And she said, that's just unbelievable. So she put me and Gil together live on the radio show. He's crying, I'm crying. And then she says to me, and I had literally prayed this, Jaffe. I said, I want someone to say to me, Margo, I just really feel a need to get your cards out to the world. So she says, Margo, I just feel a need to get your cards out to the world. And she had me on the show. And I gave career card readings, and the rest, as they say, is history. It was amazing. So I still cannot explain how Jesus hacked my old Facebook account and sent me a meme of himself. That was really astonishing.
Is that part of the book? Have you got that story included in Freed by the Light?
I don't think so. I don't think it is in Freed by the Light. You have to save some things for radio shows, you know.
Well, that's quite a nugget there for sure. I mean, it's not every day that the old JC shoots people an email. That's pretty trippy, so incredible. Now, you were raised a Christian, very fundamentalist, very serious, I guess.
Well, not fundamentalist. Let's make the distinction. Fundamentalist is very strict. I was raised Pentecostal.
I see. Okay.
Those are the crazy people that are jumping up and down and dancing in the spirit. That's very opposite of fundamental.
Well, it's funny because I attended Pentecostal Sunday school when I was a kid. My parents were going through a rough time, and my dad, his personal issues aside, he did have the wisdom and insight to see that maybe it was a good idea for us kids to go to put in a little church time. And this was about the age of, I don't know, maybe I was 7, and I had a little brother and sister at the time, so 7 or 8, around that age. And it was pretty cool, yeah, for sure. And so that's my relationship with the guy. And I just kind of, the church business was kind of, it could be boring at times, but I dug Christ kind of almost from the beginning because he had these superhero qualities. He was like kind of this old, ancient kind of, he was, you know, out of the ordinary, of course. And like I said, just really heroic type characteristics.
Yes. And a religious wizard.
Yeah.
And, you know, church was really important to me, as I've said. And I was a lay minister at the age of 14, which means I preached in my church. And I preached on the playground at 9 years old. One of the first visions, one of the most striking visions I had was of Christ. And I was in my Pentecostal church in Southern California, and the preacher was preaching on the Gospel of John. And he was a good man. He wasn't, you know, fire and brimstone. But Jesus appeared to me in that same oval picture frame, and he was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, if only I could tell you what I meant. And that really shook me. And then I realized that religion had got it all wrong. The heart of Freed by the Light is what we don't understand about religion and how we get it wrong and how it's used against us, religion and spirituality. And what Jesus has told me many times is that, you know, the message was supposed to be about the ascension. The message was supposed to be about eternal life. But what is the image that is in every single church everywhere? Him on the cross suffering. And he said, it's not about martyrdom. It's about loving yourself and honoring the self, because that's where I reside within you, and loving one another. And so this whole thing that we set up about martyrdom and sacrifice and, you know, of course, pitting each other against each other, you know, that's all definitely not his message. And it pains him, all the things that are done, you know, to hurt one another in his name.
Oh, I would imagine it would. Have you ever looked into the theory or come across the claim that he was in fact a Buddhist monk, or at least heavily influenced by Eastern teachings, and that's one of the places where he visited India and miscellaneous other locations throughout the Asiatic region during the 18 missing years?
No, I have not read that.
Oh,
I read Pista Sophia.
Right.
The Lost Gospel, you know, that included women as disciples, but I have not heard that, no.
Oh, well, we'll have to share some links with you after the show, I guess, maybe, and see where that all leads. So we got, we had seven people. It's now down to six, but hey, that's better than the big old goose egg up there on the screen. Folks tuning in, listening live here, seems to be some pretty positive feedback. Joe333. Stating that it's a very nice message that you've got, Margot. Jennifer Knight dropping in, she's hoping to stick around for some readings. Let's see who else we got there. Kat Goida, that would be Carolyn Rose Goida. I'm not sure if you've met her or not. It sounds like
she's over through Carol. Absolutely. Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, great. That's awesome. She's actually one of the folks that we, half of all the profit that we generate here via the Robin Hood is redistributed towards charity, obviously, in the true Robin Hood fashion. So she's one of the people that we look out for as best we can. Of course, we are not all that filthy rich. So, you know, we do what we can, basically. And we're looking forward to, basically, we have Operation Secret Santa, which we're going to work on relaunching again this December. And just, you know, really focusing on the charitable end of things when that all rolls around. So people like, yeah, Carolyn, definitely on our radar. One of the questions that Joe333 has here, and this is a little bit out of left field, but have you done a reading on Trump or America?
Oh. yeah. I'll tell you what, it's hard to speak on this one. As a human being, I'm completely disgusted and appalled at Donald Trump. And I have been ever since I saw him. So I can see people's souls, right? So as I was growing up in the 20s, you know, he's been on TV for a really long time. And the first time I saw him on TV, I was literally like disgusted. I was like, ooh, you're just really dirty inside. And I felt that way about three people, Donald Trump, Cardinal Bernard Law, who's now been indicated in a lot of sex abuse cases in the Catholic Church. And the third one was George W. Bush. Every time those guys would come on the television set, I would feel nauseous and sick to my stomach. And
George,
I would turn.
Bush Jr. or Senior?
Junior.
Okay.
And their just souls were just dirty to me. Just, ugh, I didn't like it. So, you know, I don't really know what his purpose is. I can't really read into it because I don't really do those kinds of prophecy things. I'm more concerned with cleaning souls and saving souls and dealing with deep emotional work. But I will say this. I do have a feeling that he will end up doing two or three good things for the country by the time he's done. The way he's conducting himself, and, you know, if we can avoid world war while he's being himself, that will be a wonderful thing. But I'm not with a lot of the people in the movement who think, you know, he was divinely appointed to do this. And I mean, I've heard just things to me that just seem madness. I mean, you know, but in that context, he is making America great again, because we are now called to arms for the first time. Our democracy is truly being threatened in a way that it's never been threatened. And we're having to stand up and unite and speak and fight for human values. And that is making America great again. So even though I find him absolutely detestable, I am proud of what America is turning out to be in response to this and in the resistance. In the resistance, I think we're finding the real heart of America, really redefining who we are and what our values really are for ourselves and for the world.
You're talking about resistance to Trump and his agenda then, I guess, is kind of...
Yes. We literally call it the resistance. It's so funny, you know, all these Star Trek and Star Wars movies, that's what it's called in America, is the resistance. Hashtag resist.
Rebel scum.
Yes. You know, we had the Women's March, which was the largest march in American history. And it was launched right after his inauguration as a response to him and his policies. And it was all over the world. Millions and millions of people, men, women, and children all over the world rose up and said, we don't ascribe to these values, and we won't let you silence us.
Well, and I don't think he has. People were allowed to march, and there was not too much I don't think too many people were, skulls were cracked open, or they were, you know, jailed or imprisoned, unless they got too, you know, peaceful marches and protests are typically allowed throughout the states, although they do have these special free speech zones, which totally goes against the whole idea of free speech.
One of the things I really loved was the day after his inauguration, somebody erected a huge banner outside the White House that said resist. That's what he saw. It was fabulous. It was on this huge crane right outside the White House.
It's our responsibility as citizens to hold all political representatives accountable. That's the whole point. And that's where the Constitution comes into play, of course. And yeah. The state is there. They're not big fans of the Constitution. It was the Constitution, as I understand it, was designed and crafted to hold the, you know, to basically provide some sort of resistance and bulwark to the state and the tyranny and oppression and so forth.
Absolutely.
Now, the one thing, and I don't want to stay on Trump for too long, the whole, obviously, because everyone understands how contentious everything was, and myself, I try to stay just, like, I don't really see myself as having a dog in the fight, as it were, although I do come from things with a background in journalism, not to the extent or degree or, you know, level or magnitude that you yourself have with your quite lengthy career, and we can get into that just for a moment or two, if you like, at any point along the way here, but I want to give him credit, though, from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing on one particular issue, and there's others that might come to mind as well, and there's a lot of room for criticism, as always, but you mentioned this Catholic, Cardinal Law, I think is the name of the character. One of the things that Ivanka apparently has been working on really pursuing aggressively is what it seems, at least that's the impression or perception that they're trying to feed people through the media, at least, is kind of what it seems to be the case. They're really going after the pedophiles in a big way. Anyone that's messing around with kids and sexually abusing them, they're really trying to, you know, crack down and say that's enough, you know. So have you been following that at all?
No, I would not say that that's in the headlines here in the U.S. We're really talking about his Russia scandal, No, I'm not really hearing that.
I see. They don't know.
But that's great, obviously. I mean, that really needs to happen because that's the world and the world elite power structure, and that needs to stop, absolutely.
Oh, God, yeah. So we can, you know, we'll leave that aside for now. I think people can kind of read between the lines and do their own research that they're choosing. But just another question here from the Peanut Gallery. Via YouTube, how does she close her aura? What technique? Joe 333 wanting to know how you do that. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Joe is actually a former practitioner of Ekinkar.
So. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, there's a number of ways to do it, and I talk about this in the book as well. The book has lots of how-to stuff, you know, how to close your aura, how to break curses and things like that. for me, I was taught to see myself inside a golden bubble of light that's filled with divine energy, and to seal it completely sealed. And so nothing can get in, nothing can get out unless I choose it to. And it's permeable if I choose, but it has shielding around it, divine shielding. And I make the affirmation, I close my aura to anything but my highest good. I close my aura to anything but my highest good. And then just recently, the angels brought me like a new sort of bubble, which is like this wonderful pink iridescent protection. And it's just marvelous. So I really recommend people doing this before you go to work. And there were times when I worked in such contentious places that I would have to go in with like spiritual armor on. Like I would go in like a knight, really feeling like I was putting on all this metal stuff because it was just such a negative environment. And that's when I needed to get through it. But in the book, one of the stories in the book, one of the guys, he and his wife now have a saying, and it's Zuya, zip up your aura, Z-U-Y-A. And they have a sign by their front door before they leave every day, Zuya, zip up your aura. It's a very important practice, and you need to do it before you go out in public, especially if you're going to go to a concert or a convention where there's a lot of people, or any place, family gatherings that might be toxic. Definitely need to close that place up.
Oh, absolutely. And as you're saying, spiritual armor, I think probably a lot of the listeners, people in our audience today, and folks that manage to come across our conversation here later on down the road in the archives will, you know, be able to relate to the whole concept. And sounds like what you're really talking about, it's kind of, I'm not sure if it'd be creative visualization, but it's, you know, spiritual. How would you describe it then exactly, the visualization end of things?
Well, now let's differentiate. So when I'm actually doing soul clearing work, or when I'm just closing my aura, which one?
Well, how do you refer to the whole practice of your spiritual path, essentially, and, you know, the visualization and cleansing? Isn't there some sort of catchphrase or term or way of referring to things that kind of covers it all?
I guess the angelic soul clearing process is the only part that I've really sort of codified that has a name. And it's a specific process that the angel showed me that I use every time that I work on someone. And it's very structured, and it has a bunch of layers, and it has very specific things that I say and ways that I work with the energy and invite and invoke the spirit dimension and the angels. But my own spiritual practice, I don't really have a label for it. I mean, it's kind of a blend of religion and spirituality. So I love Jesus, but I don't love organized religion. And I'm spiritual, but I don't like a lot of what the New Age movement peddles. So I'm really sort of in the middle. And I like to think of myself as a bridge between those two worlds, that I have walked enough in church that I have pretty serious Christian cred. I was a preacher. I started my Campus Crusade for Christ in high school. My high school freshman English paper was The Life and Ascension of Jesus Christ. I was about as religious as you could get. All my creative writing in high school was about religion. I did a thing about evil called The Last World Rock Concert, and that was a big story. And I was accepted at the Christian Broadcasting University as a student at 17 years old. I didn't end up going, but I ended up taking a newspaper career instead. But, you know, at the same time, I'm in all that religion, you know, parts of it didn't feel right and parts of it weren't right. And so the same thing for me for spirituality, you know, some of the New Age movement stuff doesn't feel right to me either. And I really call out parts of that in the book too, you know, because it's just, I don't really follow something that can really be, you know, said as Buddhism or, you know, Christianity for sure, but not all that Christianity sells or stands for, because it's not practiced the way it's supposed to be, I don't think.
Angelic soul clearing process, I think is how you phrased it. That's kind of what I was looking for, I think, basically. That kind of, it seems to cover most of it. Well, there's so many different places we could go with the conversation here. Let me just taking a look at what kind of time we're having to, we're left with. We've only got a few more minutes, and we've already got 1 hour here that has just flown by, as it typically does. So once again, just to remind listeners, if you are interested in receiving a reading from Margot, let's hear about it either in the YouTube text chat area, or you can even, I suppose, if you want, call in live here via Skype. We'll shoot you the link and hook up that way. So the nanotech, you were talking about nanotech in our Facebook exchange, kind of just leading up to the interview today. A young boy, I guess, that you have worked with as well as, she looked like a native Mexican, Native American, like a Mexican woman.
Right. One is a legal secretary, and that's the woman you're talking about. She is indeed Native American. She was a student of mine, still is a student of mine, and she'd been coming to class, and she'd had a soul clearing and all that, and was doing great. And then I stopped hearing from her, and she stopped coming to class, and we all reached out to her because we're very close. And I was worried about her, and I didn't hear from her for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Then I get a text message from her: "Margo, I'm scared. I don't feel like myself. I feel like a robot. I don't know what to do." So I texted her back, and the angels told me to have her take a photo of herself. So she took a photo of herself. The first, I can't see the feed that you have, but the first photo that she took was in her office, and it's her neck is very distended and distorted. She looks extremely robotic. Her eyes are vacant, and she just looks really bizarre. And so I don't know why they asked me to do that, but I looked at the photo and I went, "Oh my God, what is wrong with her?" And so I talked to the angels, and they said, "You're going to have to do a hands-on healing with her." And normally I do everything over Skype. I've worked with people all over the world, all over with Skype and phone calls. And so I do all my work remotely so I can help anyone anywhere. But they said specifically, you've got to put your hands on her. So she met me in a parking lot. And just like an old-fashioned preacher, I got her out of the car, took another photo when she drove up, and put my hand over her crown chakra and started praying intensely over her and channeling everything that the angels told me to do. And she was cleared instantly. And you can see that profound difference. And this is in the book. There's many, many, many stories and photos, photographic proof of this type of involvement and interference in human beings and how it affects us. And we're not even aware of it. And when I asked her, "What did you do since the last time I saw you?" She said, "Well, I had some healing work done." And I said, "Well, what kind was it?" And she told me, and it's a standard type of healing technique. A lot of people have used it for a long time. So I asked the angel, I said, "Well, what is it?" And they said, "Well, it was hijacked." And they showed a spaceship interfering with this energy and kind of intercepting it and then downloading it into her. And what they had put in her was like a beacon, like almost like the bat signal, that was just basically broadcasting to cosmic riffraff, "Hey, come on in, the party's here." And she was just like literally filling up with these negative entities. And she felt like a robot and she looked like a robot. So I was able to break that out of her. And then several little boys now I've helped clear. The one in the book, his story is astonishing too, because he was really scary to his mother. He talked about being a soldier. He constantly was talking to invisible people. He talked very loudly. She didn't know why he was talking loudly. And she would say, "Who are you talking?" Say, "Oh, Mom, they never leave me alone." He was terrified to go to sleep at night. He said there were things in his room. And he literally said to her, "Mom, there's little men building things in my brain. It's like I have nanos in my head, Mom. I feel like there's worms crawling in my head." And more than one little boy has said this to his parents in my practice. So when I got inside his head, the first thing I noticed was the sound, because I'm a multi-sensory intuitive. So I see, hear, smell, taste, feel all these senses. So it's like I'm literally stepping into a movie with all my senses intact. It's like I'm literally in that moment in reality. So I'm in this kid's head and I hear all this construction noise. And I turned to the sound, the source of the sound, and I see a cyborg standing there. And I look past the cyborg and there's this huge beam and all this scaffolding going over his brain. And I was like, "What in the world is this?" And I found implants. They appeared to me like circuits with blue blinking lights. And so the angels dismantled them. And then I had to call in cosmic authority basically and get the alien AI that set this up to remove it. As soon as it was removed, he physically changed. He shot up in size. He went from a size 8 to a 10 almost overnight, and his jaw changed. His face physically changed. The bone structure of his face changed. It was elongated and dented in one side. You can see this very clearly in the book. It's a close up. And then 2 days later, his face is symmetrical. His jaw is shorter. There's no more dent in his, and he looks like a completely different child. So you've seen this photo, everybody that can, it's, if it's showing on the live stream, he looks like a completely different kid, right?
We've got a whole number of slides.
Okay, so it's a picture of this kind of a blonde kid in a Halloween, he's got like a bandana around his neck.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've got both a picture of him and the other, the lady, the secretary that you were referencing. So it sounds to me like the archangels, they need to have a human mediator to address these issues, that they can't do it on their own for some reason. They can't access the, I'm not sure if you used the word, no, you didn't use the word archon, these nanorobots, what was it again, the term that you used as far as,
I just said AI. It was an alien race, but it was automated. This was something that was like an outpost that was just automated. They were just taking it over and rewiring his brain. And the angels kept saying to me, scaffolding, scaffolding, scaffolding. And so I looked up scaffolding and I discovered that scaffolding is a term that's used in tissue engineering. They actually do this in medicine. They will take a plate of cells, put it on a scaffold, implant it into a part of a body, and then let the cell start replicating. And so they do this in human medicine, but they're doing this, AI and alien races are doing this to us without our knowledge. So I asked the angels, I said, how are they getting in? And they said, the food. And then that led me to the whole discussion of GMOs and pesticides and vaccines and all that stuff. But to your comment about like angelic jurisdiction, so I really learned a lot about cosmic hierarchy in the last 5 years of doing this on thousands of people around the world. And the angels don't have jurisdiction in all worlds because all worlds are not human, right? There are some worlds that are like Borg, you know, it's more of an AI, artificial intelligence. So we wouldn't expect a hinge or a screw or a car motor to understand the concept of God. And so these beings, and in one chapter, the vaccine chapter, which is mind-blowing the way that happened, the person that's featured in the chapter, you just have to read it. It's astonishing. A nurse called in who'd had a problem with the vaccine, and it was just wild what happened. But a lot of these races don't know about God, and they don't recognize God. So therefore, the angels cannot help. So this is why there's a broader network of light workers and light armies throughout the universe who will come to our aid in different ways. And that's what I experienced. And that's what some of the things that I experienced.
Your relationship, and you're not the first person we've actually had on the show that has referenced archangels and made the claim that they do maintain a personal relationship with them. I'm not sure, in fact, if we all perhaps have the potential to do the same thing and that to establish some kind of relationship with, I think as you referenced, this hierarchy of angels or angelic beings. But how far back does this go exactly? Go right back to your childhood, I guess, from the sounds of things.
Oh, yes, definitely. And in fact, I remember I was in a therapy session about 15, 16 years ago. I was having some relationship problems and I went to a therapist and she took me back to my childhood, and I remember being huddled up in the closet because my father was alcoholic and they fought all the time. And I saw myself, cuddled up in the closet with my hands around my knees, you know, hunched there in the dark and hiding in the closet and listening to the arguing. And she actually said to me, she said, are you alone in the closet? And the story's in the book. And I said, well, I felt like that's kind of a stupid question. Of course, I'm alone in the closet, right? And she said, no, I really want you to look throughout the closet and see if you're alone. And I did look over to my left. I was on the far right, and there was an angel in there with me. There was a being of light in there with me. And I didn't, you know, realize it, but there have been so many times in my life, when angels have shown up. And one quick story, when my wife and I were first dating on our first date, it started to get dusk. We were in Kansas City, Missouri, in the U.S., and we were walking. And all of a sudden, literally, I'm up in the air, like cartoon character, up in the air, my feet, spinning in midair, and I'm up about a foot or two, and I'm looking down at Tiffany, who's on my right, and she's looking up at me, and I have this astonished look on my face, And then all of a sudden I was just gently set down on the ground. And I'm shocked, right? We're like, what in the world happened? So we look behind me to see what happened. And there was a fence post that was sticking up about 6 inches from the ground. And I would have tripped on it and I could have probably put out an eye or some teeth or been very severely injured had I tripped on that. And the angels literally lifted me into the air and saved me from doing that right in front of Tiffany.
This is physically, you levitated.
Yes. And I've had many experiences like that. But I want to answer your question. Can we all do this? Yes, absolutely. It's our divine birthright and the angels are looking to connect with us. But one of the things we have to be careful about is, are we connecting to an angel or someone pretending to be an angel? In my course, I've just been so delighted. I was teaching people how to get into their chakras and to do a little bit of what I do. And this lady had a trapped inner child in her sacral chakra. And she said, I don't know what to do with her. She's really full of fear. I don't feel like she should be here. What do I do? And so I said, ask the Archangel Ariel, who's wonderful with children, to come and take her to the light if she'd like to do that. And so she didn't quite do that first. And she said this nun showed up. And the little girl got even more tense and didn't want to go with the nun. And she said, so then I asked the Archangel Ariel. And she said, Ariel showed up with a puppy. And the little girl went right with that puppy. And she said, as soon as she did that, all these elves and fairies and light sparkles, you know, streamed them all up to heaven. So what is astonishing, and this is the real goal of my book, which is why it says freed by the light, is there is so much help and support available to us from the archangels if we just learn how to open up to that and allow that into our lives in a profoundly life-affirming way. They are brilliant. They are here to help us. They don't have an agenda. They just want to help us.
At the same time, you did mention or reference how, I think in Paul, in fact, his somewhere in the New Testament there, not that I'm a huge fan of that character either, but he did talk about spiritual discernment, as I recall. And that's kind of what you were going on about there as far as these imposters are concerned. So,
for we were not against flesh and blood, right? But against
wickedness, spiritual principalities,
right.
Principalities of spiritual wickedness in high places.
Absolutely, yes. That's quoted in my book. I'm just trying to find the page it's on. Yes, talk about that a lot in the book.
I had a girlfriend, actually. This is quite something. You talked your story about levitating and I guess this little girl who had this, what sounds like a supernatural experience of, you know, a considerable degree. My girlfriend back in Canada a number of years ago, what she told me was she was driving along the road one day. And actually, I got a chance to share this with Art Bell, believe it or not. I called into his show one night. I got through. He was just kind of wrapping his career up there as a radio broadcaster with his program and managed to get through it a time or two. So that was great. But anyways, the story is that she was driving along the road. It might have been winter time, a little bit icy, maybe not the most ideal road conditions. She veered off the road in her van with her kids, and they were headed over a very steep incline, as I recall, something of a cliff, as a matter of fact. And they were going, like, big time. They were gone. And from out of nowhere, she says, was what she told me, these giant bird wings, these huge giant, like angel wings appeared.
Wow.
She didn't see a face or anything, but these wings appeared like a huge net, and it just kind of engulfed, they enfolded, and covered just out of nowhere, just manifested, and held the van right there, and I think it maybe backed it up or what have you, but just right on the precipice, they were stopped. So
wow.
She wasn't like she was a pretty straight shooting woman too. Like she was not someone just that was really had a reputation for going through life making these incredible stories up. So how about that? You know, go figure, huh? So
yes, I had a very similar experience. I was hiking and I fell off this mountain and I literally bounced off two boulders and it was very steep and I was terrified. I mean, it was so steep, like my shoe like fell off my foot and like fell straight down. I really thought I could die. I didn't know what to do, so I kind of froze, and I looked up, and I saw four hikers up at the top of the mountain, and they were a long ways away from me. They were really a long ways away. But they said to me, look up. Do you see that root by your right hand? Put your hand there. And then they said, and put your foot up about 6 inches. See that little hole? And there's no way they could see that because they were on the opposite side facing me. There's no way they could see what we were facing opposite directions. But they told me, like, literally toe holds how to climb up this mountain. And I made it, and I got up to the top, and I turned to the left to thank them, and they were gone. And I'm pretty sure it was the four archangels, which is who I work with, and some other angels. So they've saved me many times, many, many times. You made a good point. You said, they have to be asked. Unless your life is threatened, then they can intervene. But they won't interfere with free will. And so we have to invite and invoke them and their help, because humans have been so violated and continue to be so violated by all kinds of cosmic forces that the angels and any being of the light is going to be very transparent, and it requires permission. You have to ask their help. And it's not that they don't want to help. It's that they just want to make sure that you're speaking of your own volition, and they're not going to do anything to infringe on your free will.
Seems to be a real, like a spiritual law of sorts, a cosmic law. And you look at the Freemasons, for example, free and accepted. That is very critical. That's why, you know, to be one, ask one. And that anytime you've got them coming around and, you know, hey, do you want to come, you know, be part of our lodge? Or, which is really, they're called temples, actually, is the deal. But, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, think that it's a religion. Why do you call it a temple? But yeah, free and accepted and,
right.
Something to that, it seems, most certainly. So we've got only just we got maybe 15 more minutes here, Margo, and I've been kind of peppering people here in the chat area as far as readings are concerned, the potential for something along those lines. Jennifer Knight, Bathtub Jen, she has no Skype, unfortunately, although she could have texted if she wanted, but... let's see. Mostly just questions, I suppose, and people just making comments and that sort of thing. So why don't you give me a reading? We'll just a quick, not that you don't already know enough about me, but, you know, just see what you can do and see where it leads, just for fun. How's that sound?
Okay. So just I have to open up to your energy field. So just a second. Okay, so what's really coming through is that you want to, there's a great desire within you to be bigger, to have a larger scope of influence. I think that this podcast is really rewarding for you, but your eye is really on something much, much, much larger. And it's not coming from your ego, it's coming from your heart chakra. It's coming from deep within you. You really want to, and the word is broadcast, really have a large influence and scope to reach a lot of people, to uplift a lot of people, to affect a lot of people. The other word that's coming through is enlightenment. You want to bring enlightenment to people. And you're not really dogmatic about what form that takes, because you know that every individual is sacred and their path is sacred, which, of course, would tie into your Buddhist leanings. So it's not like you really have a specific message that you want to, you know, hit people over the head with. You really want to be a tool to reach the masses, to really kind of wake them up and make them more enlightened. That's what's really coming through your heart right now. It's just like, I want to be bigger. I feel suffocated in a certain sense. I don't feel like I'm living up to my potential fully yet, and I want to do a lot more.
Jaffe, that damn tool. Or it could be, yeah, I'm saying it a little tongue-in-cheek, of course. So, you know, what a tool. So, but, you know, yes, good tools, of course, too, very effective and helpful. Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, you kind of hit on it, although we'll take it as it comes. And as far as recognition and the number of hits and views and people tuning into the show and downloads, and, hey, we recently got our iTunes act together, so we'll see where things lead. We got some help coming in. We got a bit of it. There's a cavalry on standby, it seems, and there's people floating and buzzing around here all the time, for sure. So, unfortunately, because of people's schedules, it's not always easy to coordinate things where they can tune in live. That's why where the archives come in handy. And yeah, we're working on Lumio. Have you heard of the collaborative platform Lumio?
No.
Yeah, really kind of cool that way too, where you can just kind of go at your own speed, and people just on a very voluntary basis offer what they can. So that's quite great. And we do have things structured in a very cooperative way. So as far as like, you know, profit sharing and whatnot, all those kind of good things are concerned. But let's see. Yeah. What do you need to do to get a reading? Well, Brian, she said all you have to do is just, if you want a reading. Yeah, Jennifer, you both can get readings. Okay. We can do it. I think she said all you have to do is just text in. What is it, Margo, that they'd like a reading, and then you're just going to tune into their energy? Is that right?
Yeah. And if anybody wants, you know, like a more comprehensive reading, they can just go to my website, getrealanswers.com or freedbythelight.com. And there's, you know, all kinds of options there for readings and soul clearings and all that. So, you know, I can only do so much on the radio. And a lot of what I do is really deep soul work. So, and it's not, doesn't always lend itself to a radio format. I don't do entertainment readings. You know, I don't keep it all light and fluffy because that's not my purpose. My purpose is to clean up the really icky, dirty, you know, deep stuff. But I'm happy, of course, to do readings for them. So if they can just, you know, type their question or call in or whatever, we can do what we can right now.
Sure. Talkwiththeangels.com too. That's another one of your
yes.
Websites.
It's all point to the same place. Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a Facebook, of course, Margo.Mateus. I think you've got Twitter, and you're pretty much all over the place and quite easily found. So, okay, Brian Murphy's saying, let's do it. Of course, there is like, I think, a 20, 30 second delay here. So, yeah, Brian Murphy is game. I think maybe Jennifer might be as well. But Brian, if you can get your, just whatever it is that you want, text it out there, and she can tune in to what it is that you're...
It feels like Brian has a question about his career or a choice or something with his job.
Okay. So is that where we're going with this, Brian? Or I'm not sure if you have anything more that you'd... Well, she thinks it's got something to do with your professional life, work or career, something along those lines. So Margo, anything that more that you can pick up via Brian at this particular moment?
Well, I feel like Brian has some turbulence inside him. He's got like two things going on. So I don't know if he has two jobs or if he's pulled in two different ways. It feels like he has a decision to make. Like he's got competing interests. It might be his home life and his work life, or a work and a passion or something. But they're kind of warring with each other. And so he needs to pick one of them over the other and let the other one kind of go, because he's not getting where he wants to go with these two things going on inside of him. So if he's got a job and he's thinking about another one, it feels, which one would be better? I don't know. There's a lot of turbulence around him, a lot of turmoil. And I feel like he's not really facing it. And he needs to kind of get really focused on what is important for him and what is going to bring him peace.
He's hearing what you're saying. He says, let's go there. So we'll have to just wait for a bit of a response here. We're throwing out the option of a potential hookup here via Skype. I'm not sure if Jennifer, if you've got any more to say. She said she's on board with this. Maybe if you can, anything from, as far as Jennifer is concerned, I'm not sure if you need any more information, but she...
Does she have a question or...
Yeah, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? So, mm-hmm. Jennifer, if you have a question, just text it in to the chat area, and we'll run with it. But as we wind down here, we've got just a little less than 10 minutes. Just want to thank you once again. And Carol Sloan, let's not forget her. She's a great, what a magic worker she is. A lot of just great karma, you know, with her fixing. She's a fixer, I guess. a matchmaker. And
she is a tremendous, helpful person. Yes. Yeah. The Kerr card called Helper, and that's definitely her. Yes. Thank you, Carol. I'm sorry she's not with us tonight, but.
You know what? She actually, she shot me just a little PM there on the side, wanting to know if we were live or not. So that was about 20 minutes ago. So she's around. She might maybe drop into the after show.
The cool thing was when she got her Freed by the Light book, she took a picture of it, and there was rainbows all around her. from the book. It was really amazing.
I would like to see that, as I would imagine a few other people would.
It's on Facebook. It's really cool.
Wow. So, Okay. Now, and speaking of karma, I know, because I did, you know, it's going to lead up to things. We like to do a little, our homework, of course, as far as, you know, new guests are concerned. But you are a believer in karma, although I'm not sure. I don't see how, why everyone isn't a believer in this. All it means is action. If you look at the Sanskrit, it's just actions. You know, we're constantly producing and creating karma, as well as, I guess, as you're kind of the work that you're into, extinguishing and cleaning karma from our spiritual, the baggage that we carry around with us. Now, Faceless Troll, we've got him. He's recently, dropped in. But Jennifer Knight, what she wants to know here, question for you. Curious how long this concussion will keep her down. She's recently got some sort of health issues, acquired. I'm not sure if you can actually. How did she get the concussion? Can you see that at all, Margot?
I actually see. I don't think it's really a concussion that she's feeling. I actually see an energetic presence over her crown chakra. I think she needs to be cleared. I think there's something there. It's looking sort of like gray. Yeah, she's got something over her energy field.
It's a spiritual issue then, is it?
Yes, it is.
Haven't been able to work at full-time or part-time or self-employment jobs for the last 8 days. That's we're sorry to hear that, of course. But let me just quickly, remind people too, as well as, I'm not sure if you've heard of this yourself, Margot, the word eudaimonia. It's an ancient Greek koine term, and I'm sure as a biblical scholar or student of Bible studies, you would be familiar with the koine Greek reference, of course. But yeah, eudaimonia, which essentially means the good demon within, or happiness. Yay. So, you know, but yeah, that Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Jesus, you know, Alexander the Great, all these folks back. Well, there's a lot to be said for Greco-Buddhism too, and we'll get into that later, maybe in the after show or what have you. But have you heard of the term eudaimonia?
I don't think so.
Ah, the ancient Greeks, I do believe, did feel that we were possessed. We did have this spiritual, you know, this energy or presence within us. Yes? Is that not the case?
Human beings are vessels for spirits. That's what we are. That's why we channel art. That's why we make music. That's why we preach. That's why we say, oh God, at moments of fear and ecstasy. So, yeah, I mean, we're always a combination of being sort of inhabited or occupied or influenced by, you know, the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, right? So, yeah, it's always a journey and a very discerning choice between which one to really focus on. One of the themes of my book is really making people aware of these negative influences on us that the New Age movement has told us don't exist, and they do exist, and they're affecting us in all kinds of ways. We're vessels, and you got to protect that vessel very, very carefully.
Well, absolutely. You know, they say you are what you eat. I think, you know, you could also use that or look at that in the context of you are what you. Well, once again, the Sanskrit, samskara, and that's where the word scar, English word scar, comes from, that these impressions, they leave their imprint and mark upon us, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at there, as far as one of the reasons why, you know, I love Jaws, and, The Exorcist, scary movie, I generally don't spend most of my days sitting around the house watching horror movies or slasher flicks, or, you know, TV shows, or, you know, where people are being brutalized and maimed, or, you know, that kind of thing. Because it's just, it leaves me with a really kind of bad feeling inside, and I'm sure it does a lot of other people. And this actually goes back to what you were talking about before, you know, with these people on television, George W. Bush, Cardinal Law, I'm not sure. Who was the third person that you mentioned that really kind of...
Donald Trump.
Oh, Trump, yeah, with the icky feeling. And I think he's got, you know, he's got, it's really kind of the radical, the people, I guess, so many people love him, and so many people just, they get that creepy kind of sick feeling too. So what can you do? But I've noticed that myself with people like, you know, a lot of politicians, okay? I mean, Clinton, both the Clintons. You know, and the Bush, it's all politicians. They're just so full of crap. And it's like, I can see through the lies that they're constantly peddling, the deception and the manipulation. And I can't watch them. It makes me physically ill as well. I think, you know, quite similar to what you were getting at earlier there. So, all right. Well, things are really heating up here in the chat area. That's great to see. So, real question, who was around my hospital bed? Jeez, I don't know. Brian Murphy, can you answer that at all? Good luck. So, I think as she said earlier, it's a lot easier for her if you're to contact her personally or shoot her an email through her website. You can take your best shot, I guess, Margot. Who was around Brian's hospital bed? I'm not sure what he means by that exactly, but picking anything up there? Or?
I actually see three spirits that were there. One of them was not so good, kind of a lurking predator on the sides. I see a grandfather spirit, and then I see an angel. So I think he had more than one person or one being that was there. And again, this speaks to this duality that's going on with him.
Right. Jennifer seems a little conflicted, so, you know, speaking of duality, as far as this business of, you know, she had staples taken out of the back of her head today is what she's saying. So she's not clear on why you feel it's spiritual. I think it's, everyone has a spiritual component or character or life that they lead. I think you've made that clear today, and most people understand that. So just because someone finds himself getting into an accident or some health or medical issues, we can't just focus on the physical. I think you would probably agree with that, would you not?
Yes, and 2 points for Jennifer. One is that trauma is how spirits enter us. Trauma is how they get in. Whenever there's a crack in the psyche or, you know, a traumatic event, this kind of blows open the container that we have, this vessel that we have. And so it really makes it easy for them to get in. And a lot of people actually leave their bodies during comas, you know, and out-of-body experiences, right? All I can tell you, Jennifer, is that I feel like your concussion will clear up within 14 days. So you're already 8 days into it. But I do see not positive energy up towards your crown chakra. Now, it may have been there before the concussion, but I definitely see it. So I can't tell you without doing a soul clearing, you know, with really looking into it and talking to the energy and finding out how long it's been there and why it's there and what it takes to get rid of it. I can't do that here in the space because it takes a really dedicated process. But I definitely still see that energy up around her head. So even after the concussion clears, she may still feel cloudy or foggy. Or, you know, like she's not really in full control of her faculties.
Isn't it interesting, too, the way that alcohol is referred to as spirits?
Yes.
And when we consume these substances, whether it's, you know, the booze or the drugs of whatever sort, that it almost seems to, we change, don't we? It kind of takes, almost possesses us in some kind of way.
Yes. I talk about that a lot in the book. You know, I say that basically that, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, all this stuff, they're gateway substances because they open energetic gateways between us and the lower astral realms. And I tell people, you know what, if you're passed out and you can't even protect yourself against a human defender, you know, a human invader, what are you going to do against a cosmic one? Right. And, you know, many of these serial killers were drunk and high when they committed their crimes. Ted Bundy was a notorious alcoholic. And he talked about openly, he called it the entity. And he was in a session with one of the detectives when this thing came over him and his body contorted. And the detective said he could feel the malice. He said he felt afraid for his life. And he said he smelled negative electricity in the room. Jeffrey Dahmer did everything when he was drunk. I have so many stories in this book and in my practice of people who've been taken over while under the influence of substances. It is very, very, very scary.
Something we definitely got to be on guard for and be, you know, well, on watch and on.
Yes. Just keep your guard up. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like we've reached that time once again. Your websites here, we've got talkwiththeangels.com, and there were a couple others that you had referenced earlier.
Getrealanswers.com will also take you there, and freedbythelight.com. You can order the book there. You can get the career cards there. You can book a session and reading with me. Be happy to help. GetRealAnimals.com, FreedByTheLight.com, TalkWithTheAngels.com.
And you do a lot of your work just via Skype, just one-to-one.
Oh, yeah.
As well
yeah.
as group sessions, too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, a new course is starting up in the next couple of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, so people can definitely get in on that and start developing their own psychic ability and learn how to clear their own chakras. And I'll teach them a lot of what I do in that process. And yeah, they can get soul clearings, they can get intuitive readings, all of that. It's also available on Amazon if they're in another country or they just want to get it from Amazon.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to stick around for the Rogues Gallery after show. We're going to probably, speaking of spirits and drink and whatnot, you know how we pirates are. We do enjoy imbibing from time to time. Some are more moderate than others, of course, but the watering holes we typically head off to go by the name of the Howling Wolf Inn. The Mossy Wench is another, of course, too. The Howling Wolf Inn, the Mossy Wench, and the Scurvy Dog. But because of tonight's, we've got you here in the discussion. If you do decide to join us, we're just going to, I think, take a stroll out along the beach as we steer our way back into the harbor and dock the ship here for the evening. So it's a pretty decent night, starry skies above. We'd just like to thank you one more time, Margo, as well as, of course, Carol Sloan, who made all this happen. Without her help, it never would have come together. Much appreciated the time you've taken out here and the insight and the wisdom that you've shared as well. So it seems like a lot of people in the listening audience there have appreciated things. And once again, we're not sure if you're going to stick around for the after show or not, but we're going to cue up our little outro here. And just kind of play things by ear. Thank you very much once again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Happy sailing.
Happy sailing.
Aye now, there we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, knob, and dial, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Don't forget, if you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in either Google Hangouts or Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past year and a half plus, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Presently commanding a whole 6 big ones per episode, our unimpeachable longshoreman math skills tell us we're on course this year to set aside around $150 in charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Be sure to join us again same time next week as we mark the 40th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley with an historic memorial, celebration, and rock and roll salute. Rounding off our August schedule, retired commercial airline pilot, radio show host, author, and UFO researcher, Augie Nost is booked for the 25th. So be prepared to take a trip on the weird side as we welcome yet another former 2016 guest back to the show. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, social media personalities, or pretty much just any landlubber looking to boost their online visibility, presence, and reach. Basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, YouTube, Google Plus, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!